Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The book of Ephesians has 2 distinct sections. The first 3 chapters give us a clear account of all that Christ has accomplished to produce the church as the one new man. His work on the cross in resurrection has brought forth this new man, composed of his redeemed people, built together in himself to become not just one new man, but even the new man filled unto all the fullness of God. Well, this would seem to be a logical conclusion to the book, but Paul goes on to the last 3 chapters and points out how much God needs our human cooperation if the church is to be built up as the habitation of God in spirit. We want to look today at just what kind of cooperation God is looking for, and Ron Kangas is back from a lengthy journey, and we're glad to have you back in the studio as we get to the final few programs in Ephesians, Ron.
It's always good to come back home. And I'm happy to blend in and to fit in with where we are now toward the end of our series on Ephesians and to fellowship about the need for God's people to cooperate with Him according to the truth revealed in the second half of Ephesians. So I welcome the opportunity to consider these points based upon Paul's word and also based upon Brother Lee's ministry developing these crucial points.
This whole question or issue of the proper balance of human cooperation with the accomplished and finished work of God in Christ is always something that brings forth a lot of discussion, perhaps at times even debate. But how do you think it best can be characterized in the context of Ephesians?
You're right. There is an ongoing debate, advanced especially by one particular theological camp. Let's say this, that in Ephesians, we're focusing on the life of the believers, those who have already been saved by grace through faith.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not talking about human cooperation in the stage of regeneration or justification. That's a crucial issue, but it's a separate issue, and it's not the issue we're addressing now.
Mm-hmm.
But once we have been justified and therefore regenerated and have peace with God through Christ, have the life of God in our spirit, the assurance of salvation, the security of salvation, how do we live? And in a word, it's not a life of passivity, lying there like the paralyzed person by the pool in John chapter 5, passively waiting for God to do something. We have been enlivened. We have the life of God. We are children of God. And God, we may say, needs us to cooperate with Him because He has so arranged His economy through incarnation to involve the human element. And it makes a huge difference whether or not there is our cooperation, that is, the human cooperation, with the divine operation. If we don't cooperate, we may be Christians for years and not grow an inch in life.
Right.
But if we cooperate, not only will we grow, but more important, the Lord will have a way to carry out His economy through a full-grown man, that is the new man unveiled in Ephesians.
I'm glad in your response to my question here, we're able to bring in this matter of growth. I think as we get further into the program today, that will, of course, become a dominant theme of what this cooperation issues in. It's the kind of cooperation that has an organic issue as opposed to just a mere human issue or mental issue. So we're compelled to grow, and as Paul says in Ephesians 3, and to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. And that really is the outcome of the proper cooperation with the divine element in this whole economy of God, isn't it?
This is the goal. We need to see it, and by the Lord's grace, cooperate with the triune God to arrive at it.
Let's join Witness Lee, Ron, for our first segment today.
We have the book of Ephesians with six chapters. Chapter 1 ends with the body, the fullness of Christ. Chapter 2 ends with God's building. And chapter 3 ends with the new man filled with all the fullness of God. Is this all? No. You still need some cooperation. Christ, yes, on the cross, abolished all the ordinances in order to create a new man. Yet this new man needs to be built up. You know, many Christians would say, well, we can do nothing. We cannot build the church. It got to be the Lord doing. It sounds quite spiritual. But we all have to realize Christ built the church by giving the gift to his body. So Christ built the church indirectly. And the big gifts, such as the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, they built the church also not directly, but indirectly through all the members who have been perfected by them. Then all the members perfected, all the perfected members will build the church directly. It seems Ephesians should be ended at the end of chapter 3. You have the body, you have the new man, you have the new man filled with all the fullness of God, then you have two verses giving the glory to God. Be glory unto him that is able to do, and so forth. Well, that was the ending. But after that, you still have chapter 4. Chapter 4 tells us, there is the need of the cooperation on the human side.
Well, Ron, I think we began this line of fellowship before Witness Lee's portion, and he, I think, somewhat reinforced it. Let's continue it. The new man is created in chapter 2, and we have this conclusion to chapter 3 where the new man is now filled unto all the fullness. So why is there a need for anything further? It seems like we've reached the end.
If there were only the divine side in the carrying out of God's economy, then there would be nothing needed. But the fact is, Paul did not conclude Ephesians with chapter 3. In chapter 4 in particular, we have the concept of growth unto maturity. On the one hand, from the divine side, the one new man has been created already and exists as a fact before God. On the other hand, from the human side, the one new man who has been created in Christ and brought forth in Christ's resurrection needs to have a practical existence on the earth and expressed in the church life. For the practical existence of the new man, there is the need for human cooperation. And that human cooperation is very closely related to the growth of the new man.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I say that's a central theme in chapter 4, where Paul says not to be little children any longer, carried about, rather to become a full-grown man. Verse 15 talks about growing up into the head Christ in all things. The next verse, we have the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. Well, viewed from the human side, which is, of course, the side involving us, the believers, There's the need for growth. How can there be growth without any kind of cooperation? It's not that we work in order to grow, we strive in order to grow, but we cooperate. In a family, if the mother wants the children to grow, she cooperates by feeding them. The children cooperate by receiving the food. So if we are to see the actuality and practicality of the new man created in chapter 2, we desperately need to have the human cooperation unveiled, particularly in chapter 4. Otherwise, we will have only a high revelation of the new man, but not a way to enter into the practical existence of the new man. God wants something real, actual, and practical concerning the body of Christ and the one new man. And for this, he needs, I say this deliberately, he needs our cooperation.
Exactly the focus of what we're coming to in this next segment. And to this, I think a lot of believers, a lot of Christians, sometimes will lift an eyebrow at the thought that God needs us. Of course, we begin and end with our need of God, but along the way, if that realization doesn't strike us deeply at the root of our being, that God also needs us for his purpose, our Christian life will be short in many, many regards, and that's what we want to look at in this second portion. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Christ did everything. Hallelujah. He became incarnate. He passed through the human life. And he went down to the cross. And he dealt with all the negative things, including the ordinances. Hallelujah. He accomplished redemption. He left nothing undone. Right? He did everything. But listen, that is only on the divine part. Still, there's the need of the human part. Oh, God, in his economy, could never accomplish the whole thing without the human cooperation. It is based upon the principle of incarnation. Incarnation means what? God and man mingled together and working together. Never forget this. I would say, Lord Jesus, without me, you can say nothing. You need me, just as I need you.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus would say, child, that's right. That's right. That was why I became incarnate. That was why I came into man. You see, you have the divine part and you have the human part. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the first three chapters of Ephesians, you see the divine part. That's the divine part. Everything has been done. My. I tell the first three chapters of Ephesians, whoo, wonderful. Oh, what Christ has ever obtained is to the church. It seems there's no need of human cooperation. But you have chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6. Oh, this is the human part. We have the human part. Oh, we need God. We have to tell God. You need us. I tell you, if we would strike.
Ron, I don't know if our listeners caught that exactly, but that last comment was if we would strike or if we would go on strike, God would have a problem. This is not only a little humorous, but there's a lot of profundity here, isn't there?
It's a striking way of making the point that if we would fail to cooperate, God would have a problem temporarily in carrying out his economy. Not many believers may, so to speak, go on strike, but there are a great many who are passive resistors. They're either oblivious or are just passive with respect to the things of God's economy. So there is a great need for at least a remnant among God's people to be awakened. to be enlightened, mm-hmm. and to be exercised, to cooperate with God for the carrying out of his economy, according to the revelation in Ephesians. This is an urgent and desperate need in God as well as in the believers today, and precious few realize it.
To what degree? Of course, we realize there's no human element involved in accomplishing our redemption. How can we cooperate to further this matter of growth that we've been talking about?
Well, let's approach this from two angles. One is from the illustration of the vine in John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me and I in you. The function of the vine is to bear fruit. And according to John 15, the true vine bears fruit for the glorification of the Father. If there are no branches, how can the vine bear fruit? There must be branches, and we, the believers, are the branches. These branches must abide in the vine, practically and experientially, living a life in union with Christ. That living a life in union with Christ by being one spirit with him is our cooperation with him. But we're not on John 15. We simply detour there to make an illustration. We're, of course, on Ephesians 4. And the cooperation here is related to growth. It cannot be reasonably denied that growth is a central thought in this chapter. Growth implies life supply, nourishment, feeding. So if there is to be the growth of the new man and the building up of the body of Christ, there must be the ministry of life. There must be the feeding with the healthy spiritual food. This further requires that on the negative side, God's people set aside their toys, their playthings, their toys of doctrines and ordinances and preoccupation with secondary things. And on the positive side, it implies that we concentrate, as the Word reveals, on feeding God's people, on receiving the life supply, on eating, drinking, breathing the Lord, so that we may grow. Only God can cause growth. That's according to 1 Corinthians 3.
Mm-hmm.
But using the metaphor there, one plants and another waters. There's no planting or watering, there won't be the growth caused by God. So we do not cooperate in the sense that we can cause ourselves or others to grow. We cooperate in the twofold sense of supplying spiritual food and of receiving spiritual food. And the life in the body of Christ, by the way, is a life of mutuality in which we give the food and receive the food in a blessed mutual exchange of the Christ we experience and enjoy.
We're going to break our usual pattern a little bit in that typically we end with the third portion of Witness Lee followed by a good time of back and forth dialogue. I think we've had that back and forth dialogue that really appropriately fits this final segment we're going to hear from Witness Lee. So I think today it would be fitting just to conclude with his word and just have a very brief comment at the end, because I think the point he makes will really underscore your fellowship just now, Ron. So let's go back to Witness Lee and we'll come back just to wrap up the program.
Christ has accomplished everything on the divine part. Now we have to do something. And the human part is not to teach. In chapter 4, the concept is absolutely different from religion. Because religion is altogether a matter of doctrine, teaching. In chapter 4, the main concept is the growth. It says, until we all will arrive at a full-grown man. You mothers who feed your children do know how the children grow. By teaching? What is needed is not the teaching, but the growth. Amen. By what way we can have the growth? No other way but by feeding, by eating and drinking. Without being fed, without eating and drinking, no one can make an inch growth. We all grow by feeding. What is needed today? It's not any doctrine, any teaching, but the feeding. In the church life, we need the grocery cooked. If you invite me to dinner, you just put all the things you bought from supermarket and put all the things on the table, I won't be happy to eat. We need some cooking. Yeah? And then we put what we have processed, what we have cooked on the table. Then all the church members may have something to feed on. But they get the nourishment. And by the nourishment, then they grow. This concept to teach, to regulate, to discipline the church members, I tell you, is absolutely religious. In God's economy, the main thing is not to teach. The main thing is to feed. To dispense something into you. We have to feed the people.
Ron, when I hear this kind of word, I can't help but think of the Lord's word to Peter when he told him, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. This is really the great need today, and we have about 60 seconds.
It's the great need. The Lord illustrated this in Matthew 24 when he talked about the faithful and prudent slave who was serving among God's people, and his function was to give them food at the appointed time. God's people, more than anything else, need God in Christ as the Spirit through the Word as their food. And this burden is at the very heart of this ministry. It is the impulse, it is the motive of our labor in this radio program. What is in our heart is to give food to God's people, to minister Christ as the life supply to them, that they may grow, not primarily for their own spiritual benefit, but for the benefit of the body, for the benefit of the new man, and for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose.
Wow. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Chris Wilde.